Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Psalms 116. And you'll see there's kind of a subtitle underneath it. It says, Thanksgiving for Recovery from Illness. It's in your pew Bible, page 564. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, if there's anything we knew when we first visited Lincolnshire, and we know it still to be true, is that you are a praying church. Please don't ever hesitate to ask anyone to pray with you or for you. We deeply appreciate when you call, you allow us to pray over the phone with you if we can't be with you. Others will do that as well. We surround you weekly, daily, in our thoughts and in our prayers. And I know that those who sit beside you do the same. Prayer, as we know, is the very air that we breathe as we talk to God. Now, you might think with doing a series of sermons on prayer that we might start with the Lord's Prayer. After all, it's logical, right? Because the disciples asked, now, how do we pray? And so Jesus taught them what we call today the Lord's Prayer. However, we are going to save that for August 20th when we have communion. I think that's a fitting time. So it will be coming. It will be coming. We are using the scriptures as the foundation of our sermon. We are also using a book that we have actually taught Sunday school class out of several times by Paul Miller. It's called A Praying Life. Now, the subtitle is called Connecting with God in a Distracting World. I mean, how apropos is that? So I think you will appreciate, again, the words of wisdom that come through that. We'll also be using other resources, but I just always like you to know where we're coming from. And maybe if you appreciated, you heard something we said, you'll know where we receive the information. Now, we're also going to practice something this morning. We're not going to do this every morning. But when I say hallelujah, I'd like you to say amen. Let's practice it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Oh, you guys are awake. We like that. All right. So Paul Miller on pages 15 and 16, and I'm going to surprise you with a hallelujah amen so you guys stay awake. He says, the American culture is probably the hardest place in the world to pray. We are so busy that when we slow down to pray, we find it uncomfortable. We prize accomplishments and production, but prayer is nothing but talking to God. So at times it seems useless. It seems like we're wasting our time. Every bone in our body screams, get to work. When we aren't working, we're generally being entertained. Television, the internet, video games, and cell phones fill our free time. Exhausted by the pace of life, we generally veg out in front of a screen of some sort. Now, whether you agree or disagree with Paul Miller on the statement about American culture, and whether you agree whether American culture is really more difficult to focus than others, I want us to focus on the latter part of the second sentence that he said, when he said, sometimes we find prayer uncomfortable. We have with us today a spiritual therapist by the name of Ruth Stroll. We're so pleased to have her with us today. And she's going to be talking with her client, Lowell Shear, concerning prayer.
Hi, Lowell. It's been a while since I've seen you.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Have a seat.
Thank you. Well, Dr. Ruth.
That's scary, Lowell.
Yes. You've been helpful to me in the past on a number of questions and issues that I've had, and I've got another one, and I'm a little embarrassed and maybe a little ashamed to admit it, but my prayer life has been having some problems. I was wondering if you might have some helpful suggestions.
Well, let's begin by looking at your relationship with your Father, your Heavenly Father, that is. God said in 2 Corinthians, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. What does it mean to you that you are a son of God?
Wow, that's some pretty heavy stuff. I guess if I am a son of God and God's my father, parents are supposed to be open and receptive to their children. So I guess that means that God will be open and receptive to me. We could be close. Not, of course, because of any goodness of my own, for certainly Jesus on the cross made me acceptable, but wait a minute. If Jesus and I are both sons of God, that sort of makes us like siblings. Brothers.
Yes.
And therefore heirs, along with 7.5 billion other members of the human race, of course.
That's right. That's right. But you may be straying off on a tangent here. Still, you've done a wonderful job of describing the doctrine of sonship. Now, tell me, what is it like for you to be with your Father? What is it like to talk with him?
Well, sometimes my mind wanders. Maybe back to the events of the day, maybe ahead to what I have planned for the next day. And sometimes I'm not quite sure what to say or how to express my concerns in a genuine, unselfish manner. And sometimes I wonder, does prayer really make any difference? Is God even there? And sometimes I have these doubts, and then I get guilt feeling because of the doubts. That's a big one, that guilt feeling because of doubts.
Right.
But I don't really want to give up on prayer because sometimes I do feel that closeness, and I don't want to lose that.
I have to be honest. Your relationship with your Heavenly Father may seem dysfunctional, but it is quite normal. You talk as if you have an intimate relationship, but you don't. Theoretically, it is close. However, in practical terms, it's distant.
What do you mean by dysfunctional and distant?
Well, imagine that you communicated with your wife this way.
Yeah, okay.
Does your mind wander when you speak with your wife?
Well, sometimes my mind wanders when my wife speaks to me.
Is that how you want your Heavenly Father to react as you pour out your requests and your heartfelt concerns to Him?
No, I want God to pay close attention because I don't want to have to repeat myself.
And how often would you like for your spouse to be present when you are talking with her?
Well, all the time. I don't want to feel like I'm talking to myself or a brick wall.
But if she weren't present, you would presume that she wouldn't be listening, true?
True. Her powers of ESP are seriously lacking.
Okay. Now that you know that the scriptures state that God hears our prayers, that He stays by our side, that His mind doesn't wander from us.
At least I hope that that's true. I want that to be true.
Well, if true, if God is focused on you, ever present, tuned in, and your mind wanders while you're talking to Him, who is not in the relationship?
I am not in relationship. I am not focusing on the one I expect to be listening to me. I am self-absorbed, I guess you could say, allowing distractions and thought to pull my thoughts and attention away. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That is what I'm trying to tell you. However, realize that you are also human. We are all self-absorbed human beings. We will mess up. Our minds will wander. It's okay to start over.
So it's okay if, or rather it's okay that, I'm not perfect.
It's perfect that you're not. God doesn't want pretense any more than your wife does.
I think I know better now how to improve my relationship with God, as well as with my wife. Focus and trust and focus. Could you talk to my wife?
Well, we do need communication assistance in prayer sometimes, don't we? Well, especially it seems like when disasters occur, or maybe not then, perhaps we're more focused then. But during those times, sometimes prayer seems like empty phrases, especially when it's someone dear to our heart who has need for healing, financial difficulties, or separation from a loved one. And those prayers don't seem to be answered or answered quickly enough. But during those tough times, let's remember that Jesus still calls us to intimacy. He talks about joining us for dinner. You know this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Now, as a teenager, I stopped that sentence right there, and for some reason, I left off the latter half. And it wasn't until I was reviewing this sermon that I thought, there's more to it. There's more to it. Let's listen to it in totality. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Hallelujah.
Amen. A praying life, as many of you have discovered, feels very close to like a family mealtime. It's intimate, and prayer hints at eternity. During mealtime, we don't think about the exact words that we are saying, at least not in our household, because we are focused more on each other and how we are interacting with one another. Oddly enough, many people struggle to learn to pray because they are focusing on the mechanics of praying. Thus, we discover the second dysfunctionality of prayer. When we spend more effort on the how we say it versus what we are trying to communicate. For example, am I addressing God correctly? Do I call him God, Heavenly Father, Creator? What should I call God? Is he in, or should I call back later? Is there a busy signal on the prayer line? Is he free, or is he too busy to hear my request at this time? These concerns are paralyzing. We simply cannot move forward in an intimate fashion if we are concerned about the mechanics of prayer.
Consequently, we are not focusing on the mechanics of prayer today. Today, we are looking at intimate communication, the whole give and take flow with God. If you pause doing prayer, is that wrong? Well, when you pause as you're eating, is it wrong? No, obviously not. So let us consider today the give and take, the flow. And in order to focus on the flow and to feel relaxed and to talk with God as we are, we need to get to know him better, don't we? Just like we do when we get to know our family members. It makes prayer so much easier. So let's keep two objectives in mind as we come to God with frequency, pouring our heart out to him. Let's see what it takes to establish that flow of communication with God. Well, first of all, and we touched upon this last week, we need to come to God. The first objective is to come to him in a childlike fashion. Now, the disciples did this. They had the everyday day and flow with God. I mean, how wonderful must have that have been? There was no pretense with the disciples aside from Judas. The disciples even argued on the road as to who was greatest, and as you recall, Jesus called them on it. So there was a very honest give and take between Christ and the disciples.
Number two, to come to God messy. Does this mean that we purposely slide into apathy? No. It means that during prayer, we see ourselves as we really are. We may come to God angry and bitter at times, and sometimes sniffling with runny noses, but other times filled with joy. God honors all of this. He has a welcoming heart that understands that we will not always get it right. And when we do, God cheers, just like the first time you see a child take their first step or say their first word like mom or dad, or when they get on that bicycle and they ride for the first time. God understands that we come to him in prayer at times when we are overwhelmed, when we are tired, and when we have a wandering mind. That's why the favorite invitation song that Billy Graham used in every crusade that he had at the end was "Just As I Am." After all, God doesn't come to save the perfect. If you are perfect out there, let us know. He saves the sinners, the messed up people, like all of us who keep messing up.
And we see this in Luke 15, verses 1 through 2. It states, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'Well, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Now, the Pharisees were aghast at this, but we say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Even Jesus, who was without sin, recognized that he could do nothing apart from his Father without knowing God's will and without God's power. And we see John recording Jesus' words very distinctly. John 5, 19, Jesus says, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord." John 8, 28 says, "I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." And John 12, verse 49, "The Father who sent me has himself given me what to say and when to speak."
Thus, when Jesus tells us to be childlike, he isn't asking anything of ourselves that he doesn't do himself. He doesn't ask us to be anything that he hasn't been. Jesus knew who he was. His identity is tied directly to God. We never find Jesus searching for himself, trying to figure out who he is. Therefore, getting alone to pray, to spend time with his Father, was imperative. Paul Miller made an acute insight. He stated, "You don't create intimacy, you make room for it." Regardless of our busy lives, to know God, we must make room for him in our schedules.
Regardless of how or when you pray, if you give God the space, he will touch your soul. God knows you are potentially exhausted at times, but still he longs to be a part of your life. He longs to sup with you, to have a trusted friendship with no pretense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are two Oscars of faith awarded by Christ as seen in the records of Luke and Matthew. One is the centurion, as we are well familiar with, the Roman officer who was so confident of Jesus' ability to heal his paralyzed servant that he asked Jesus to heal without Jesus ever entering the centurion's home.
The second Oscar goes to the woman who persisted until Christ healed her daughter of demons. "Woman," Jesus said, "great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." As we become as children, we do as these two individuals demonstrated. First of all, we ask. And secondly, we believe. Yet there is another component that keeps us from concerning us about a wandering mind. As the Apostle Paul demonstrates in his letter to the church of Ephesus, he begins by praying, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom." And that comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7.
Although Paul, Apostle Paul, does continue to pray for several verses, the interesting thing is we can't really tell where he stops. He begins in chapter 3, at the beginning of chapter 3, he begins praying again. Paul was in chapter 1. In chapter 3, he begins praying again. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Paul appears to be praying all over the map. He starts to pray. He interrupts himself. He starts praying again. He gets distracted, and he finally finishes his prayer. Anyone feeling better about prayer? I know I was when I read that, and I recognized that. What I love about this letter and what I love about Paul's seemingly disjointed prayer is that it's a continuous prayer. It's a continual, ongoing life prayer. And so many times when we pray for one another, as you're talking to someone, don't you just find yourself breaking out in prayer? Or while you're in prayer, you kind of midway just start talking again to the person, and then you end up in prayer again? I mean, it's just that natural give and flow. This is when we're in Christ. This is what makes prayer fresh. It's not the same old trite format. It's fresh. It's new, both in structure as well as in its voice. So if you don't feel that you are perfect, believe me, prayer is perfect for you because we come to God as we are. We are all sinners. None of us is perfect. God loves us as we are. So if we come messy with a runny nose or bloodshot eyes, God's welcoming arms are extended to us. So let us please spend time with God, accepting his embracing arms. Our holy God accepts us holy. So here we are to worship as we are, perfectly imperfect. Hallelujah.
Amen.